Hey, hello, and welcome back to another episode. Matt and Ez here talking Stranger Things Season 4, Part 2. Oh my God, Ez, it was insane.
Dude, it was like one of the coolest experiences I've had in a long time. I'm like out here with you, Burgerville, the whole freaking thing, big screen TV, we watched it, but flat out, it was probably one of the best pieces of, like, I mean, I don't know, art I've seen.
Content I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, Ez and I are actually recording in the same room for the first time in, wow, like 2 years.
Yeah.
Which is freaking awesome because he's out here visiting me. But so if it sounds a little different there, that would be the case. But, yeah. Dude, oh my God. It's almost like, so for starters, I think you and I both agreed after we watched this that I think they did this season a little weird. I think that I would have ended the, like, they did the part two, which was like episode 7 and 8.
Yeah.
I think I would have had episode 7 be the end of
volume 1.
Of volume 1. And then just had released this as volume 2. Because where episode 6 ends up wasn't nearly as cool as where episode 7 ends up. Because 6 ended with, like, Vecna saying, like, getting, like, he was sort of like had control of Nancy and was like, you go back and tell everyone that, like, I'm coming for them. And then they had the plan, but, like, episode 7 ends with them, like, everybody walking and, like, we're going into battle.
Yes, it does.
And it was it was just way cooler. And I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. The only cool thing about the end of volume 1 was, like, the whole finally we got to see, like, L do the blast you into the freaking thing. We got the Vecna is like, oh, actually, this person is actually 1, which is kind of funny. They did do that in the next episode, which is like, is it Vecna 1 or Henry? Was that his name?
Right.
So, but yeah, it is sort of a, they had to kind of pick the right spot to divide there. And I don't know. It is a little, because it was an epic. After episode 1 in volume 2.
Which is episode,
what would that be, 8?
8.
I think it was 9 total.
Yeah, 9 check. Total. Yeah.
But,
which was like episode, 8 or 9 of the whole thing. It was like, man, we were immediately ready to, like, blast into the next thing. But I would say, man, for me, and we're getting, you know, I guess, you know, like, we already covered the first part of the season. But for me, like, it's hard to even rate it. Be like to even give it like a 10 out of 10, which it is, obviously.
Yeah.
To give it like a 10 out of 10. For just like the second part or even just the final episode is almost like I either need to go back and reevaluate how I've ever rated anything I've ever seen, or I need to like just give it like 100 out of 10 because it was so freaking amazing. But and this is like so much happened that I don't know that we're going to necessarily do like a okay, then this happened, this like summary.
Yeah, that's fine.
And just like like big points. But I think first one thing we should talk about is because I mean, look, the episode itself, not only was it like we got to see big, epic, amazing things, it was paced well. They did a great bounce and back and forth between all of the characters, and I felt honestly the way they did it was so cool.
Yeah.
But like we finally got lore on like the Upside Down and how it was created, which is the one thing that I've felt like they really needed to explain a bit more. I do think over the first few seasons, they should have sort of explained the Upside Down a little bit more.
Or given you a few more breadcrumbs here and there.
Yeah, because like we kind of got it all in that episode in like a lore dump, which is fine like to sort of explain like now that we get it, okay, it's Vecna's been like the whole deal, as well as Vecna. So that realm exists
prior to him being
was explained a little bit that he got pushed there, but like we were like, is he the mind, like who is the mind flayer in control and he's there or whatever, but like it felt like we really didn't have a lot. Like season 2 we should have gotten a little bit more about like the Upside Down. Like season 3 we should have gotten a little bit more about it other than like, hey, the Russians are into it too. I was glad that we did finally get that, because now it's like we saw L pushed him into that realm which existed. And he obviously could exist there without food or water or anything.
Right.
Because we saw him get sort of burnt and he was there.
Now
you see the Demogorgons were there.
Yes.
The Demogorgons were there and that black mist.
And floating rocks.
Rocks and sort of the black mist, right? Dark energy shadow was also there. But clearly Vecna is able to control it.
Yeah, and it has almost like put some sort of dominion over the land that was there. Like came right. in as like a sorcerer kind of, right? And then distorted the land even further.
Right.
Sort of, in some weird way.
Right. And so clearly it's not sort of a version of Hawkins, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah.
he created it to be a version of Hawkins. And also I'm beginning, yeah. I think now that's why maybe it's stuck in 1983 is because he could only shape it to be the world that he knew.
Dude,
which would have been Hawkins
is,
when he got pushed through.
Is anybody talking about that? That's exactly what it is. Like, so he goes in, because you're right. It wasn't like he went in there and he saw the upside down version of Hawkins. He saw just terrain, right?
Right.
And just sort of land, mountains, hills, whatever, and then rocky structures. But like that was it. And so as he creates, or as he distorts and creates a mirror world, what he mirrors is what he knows, and like where he was last there, right? He's also right. being from that other world, the opposite of upside down, the real world. And so anything that he has in him to conjure up a world there would be from the moment he left.
Right.
Kind of, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because now I'm beginning to wonder, how did he shape... Because clearly there's rifts all over our, you know, the fiction, but our world.
Our world, yeah.
Because it's in Russia and stuff like that. But I guess I'm wondering, how could he, I guess maybe because he can fly around and do all sorts of stuff. Like in Russia, if you go through the upside down, are you in the upside down version of Russia? Or are you just in some sort of random plane? Because did he create it to be Hawkins because that's what he knew? So like Hawkins makes sense.
Yeah, wait, I have a question though. So like did they... Because we see the shadow and all the Demodogs and Demogorgons. Did they just...
In Russia,
but did they just get them from...
No, remember, because in...
How did they have them?
So, in season 3, when they build the mall, and remember, they're boring into the upside down, they weren't boring... They weren't, like, sort of boring into where the gate was open in the lab. I think they were boring into their own spot.
So that means, how long were they there? Were they pulling stuff out to experiment on it or whatever?
Right.
Like that's the other thing too, is like, could they have bored from Russia? You know right. what I mean? Like, could they have just made their own situation
yeah,
in Russia?
Yeah.
Cause
I'm pretty sure that the realm that exists is the only, there's probably others, but clearly like the Russians were to some degree, cause we know that Brenner had said that were doing that on their own.
Yeah, okay.
Because how would they have known that that was going on? But they were saying, hey, we were spying on the Russians. So I think initially it was probably, hey, we're spying on the Russians for like the military, missiles and all, the, you know, all this other stuff.
Yep.
Which is probably to secure government funding. And so Brenner's like, I can keep all my weird science projects going because he's more into that. This is what it seems like.
Mad scientist, yeah.
Now, what's interesting, though, is that the Russians were doing it. So how did the Russians know? How did the Russians know about the upside down?
That's what I don't know. I don't understand. Like, unless they were monitoring something that, like, because it comes to the point where Papa essentially was still looking for one and sort of was like spying on the Russians, as you said, to keep the funding, keep everything going, expand the powers.
Right.
But at the same time, that's what Elle was implying anyways, that like you wanted to find him. You're the monster. He's not the monster. You wanted him to go in. And then, of course, Vecna says Elle's actually the monster, which we know is not the case. But, you know, it's like.
Right, because in season 3, remember the Russians were there and they were with the mayor. And the mayor was like, I can't touch it. There's like all this stuff going on.
Right.
So like, how did the Russians get over there? And then the Russians obviously have their own, which I don't think they, unless they took them from Hawkins and shipped them over, or there's gates in Russia. Although we've only seen gates in Hawkins.
In Hawkins, yeah. Unless it's just a place where, since Elle did that, it was the whole area, or there's like a radius or something where it's more susceptible to boring into or something.
Right.
You know, maybe that's the case.
Yeah.
They could have had spies or something who just sort of relayed the information. They then know to come over and build the mall. Because that implies that they needed to come to the Hawkins area. Like, this is all still kind of a Hawkins situation. Like, it's the epicenter of
right.
whatever Elle did to one. So... Yeah, because that's wild. Because now they've got their experiment. Although, what are they doing with those Demodogs or dogs? Like, they're not doing anything, right?
Because they have a ton. Remember, they had some in. So they not only did they have the Demogorgons and Demodogs, right? Yeah. So they had them, and they had some of them that they had killed, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So they either got them from their own sort of thing over there in Russia. or they had been getting them from Hawkins and shipping them back,
mm-hmm.
which to me, I almost feel like maybe they were at first, because we still don't know how they did it, because the Russians show up, right? And then they're just sort of there, and they're under the mall, and they're experimenting on stuff. But somehow they found out, or somehow like something happened to cause them to go to Hawkins to try and figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
But then they also have the black mist.
Right. And they call it at one point, like, the shadow entered them or whatever. See, because I never understood what was in the tanks. Like, were those alive?
They were. I think they were dead.
They're dead, yeah.
And then the black mist reanimated them.
Reanimated them. I was wondering if they, like, tried to clone the one because they're, like, cutting something. You know, who freaking knows? It's all kind of a mystery box, which is fine. But, yeah, the shadow goes in and reanimates them, which is weird because, actually, when Vecna showed up, as you said, you saw the Demogorgon, and then you saw the shadow, like, misty kind of stuff or whatever. So, like, he's manipulated those elements. They existed in the same world, so because I don't think that's like Vecna has control or is using that shadow to reanimate them or whatever. I don't know, right. Like how they're all kind of connected across the void and
right, and
stuff.
It's like a hive mind. So right, so the thing is like, so it, again, and this is like the thing we've been wondering. So that world existed on its own,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Okay. That plane of existence existed on its own. The Demogorgons and that black mist were there.
Yes. Yep.
And maybe there were weak spots. Maybe there wasn't. Like, mm-hmm. whatever. And we don't know if they sort of were able to come through somehow. We don't know if they were able to be the thing that caused these women to, like, give birth to people that then had abilities, or these people had abilities on their own, or, like, because now I think you and I both are kind of in agreement that Will has powers.
Something's up. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Because you explained to me that, like, he.
Right.
It's not that the Demogorgon got him necessarily. We don't know that exactly what it was.
Right. But so clearly, like, Henry, right, was born with powers.
Yeah.
So he was born without Brenner or this laboratory or anything with abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Elle's a little different because we think she was almost given abilities. Because they were, you know, her mom was like a test subject before she even had a baby.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about that. I never thought that they never explained really how he got his pet. Like, he just has them.
He just has them.
Yeah.
But so they're trying to duplicate that. Right. Something. So then people are saying, like, he had, like, the vision of, remember he was, like, he had, like, the spiders and stuff like that. And so he was, like, kind of obsessed with these spiders.
Yeah.
And then he kind of created, like, the mind flare.
Hold on a second. You're totally, I'm totally forgetting. So, like, when Henry, the whole story with the haunted house, the whole him having some weird sort of special ability power or whatever it is, like, that's not by, like, drugs or psychedelics or whatever to unlock something. He was already
that
way, like demonic power or whatever. And then that was studied, and he's trying to, you know, Brenner, the whole thing's control. He's trying to control it or whatever, or reproduce it. So that's weird. I never even thought about that, because that's like, what is that original power? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's
yeah.
Weird.
So then when he goes to the Upside Down, he sort of he sort of turns it really into the Upside Down,
mm-hmm.
and sort of creates this thing. But then, you know, some of the kids feel like have different abilities and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I'm glad that we finally got like a lore dump, but I feel like this series is going to finish without. Because we're only getting one more season, and I feel like
without explaining
a lot of things, like in Star Wars, for example, like it's like because like when we see the Force, it's sort of just explained in this way that it's like the Force can basically do anything, and then it's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
Whereas this is actually like less explained, but it's like, hold on, I need some pieces to add up here for it to kind of make sense, because like the Upside Down is such a big part of the puzzle that they need to kind of we're gonna need some more lore dumping in the final season.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is that like you could is it true they're maybe expanding others outside of five?
Netflix, there's like comics and stuff like that are going on. Okay. I don't know that the Duffer Brothers are going to be involved in any more.
Yeah.
Sort of it. First of all, we'll talk about them later. Those guys are just absolute geniuses. So I watched an interview with them where they said like. Yeah, we've kind of had like plot points developed out, but like they're like they're like some of these other things like came up, you know, as we got going.
I think
going.
they
Which is why it's like we didn't show you like Vecna or something going out.
Right. They took elements like you said, like from the first season and said, okay, how can we expand upon these things? What can we pull out? What can we kind of do? Right. And then they started to, because really it was, I mean, season one was, you know, took the world by surprise. Everyone's exactly. sort of like, well, okay, now we got to like, how do we make this bigger? Because I'm thinking like if you wanted to, because you can't, you know, one Star Wars project can't come out and just sort of like dump all the Force lore forever, you know. Right. You need excuse me, you need those mystery boxes sort of around the universe that you can kind of come back to. So if they're going to keep going with it, then they might want to keep one or two things, but you're right, they need something at the end here that explains something. I just pulled up on my phone, so you see how this is, I have an image here of like this like yellow like right. lightning or whatever, and just,
that's what the realm was. The realm was really this like yellow, right?
Yeah, and then it turns into this red.
Well, it's
lightning.
Like blue and black, except for where Vecna is, where it's red.
Yeah, red. Like there's different realms. What I'm saying, like a golden realm, like a shadow realm sort of thing, and then it's almost like he's trying to control or bring them together, merge them, and then we looked at one point like all the D&D stuff and all the different realms that these characters live in. You're like the shadow realm. Right. One was a red realm. One was like something right. with red
mist. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I was actually looking at this last night too, because we looked at it last time. So Vecna was a character who was introduced, and I was trying to actually go back and look because the Duffer Brothers clearly had to have like played D&D growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean like super into it. So like really there was only version one that would have existed. Like, because I guess I was like, why did you choose like 1983 or, mm-hmm, you know, whatever, mm-hmm, to start? So yeah. So version two, like, wasn't really kind of out yet, but, you know, they could still have used it as influence or whatever.
Right.
But like, so I wasn't looking at like current, but like Vecna was this character who like was created in D&D. And then his whole deal is he actually had like dominion over this like other realm. And then he gets banished to this like even other realm.
Yeah.
It's like
a whole
big deal. Yeah.
Right. And so as he goes from realm to realm, or he's banished from like our world to this world. And then even there, if he can't, whatever, he's distorting wherever he goes. He's right. You know, because I, again, just found another, like, again, it's very golden. It's very like a yellow lightning. Whereas right. like what we see is like this freaking, when Eddie is playing the shredding.
Jesus.
When he's shredding on the guitar, just lightning striking behind him. And it's right. just, it's all this red, very, and you kind of forget about the colors. And they had to be intentional on that, right? You had to be intentional right. on, like, why is this realm, when he first goes into it, not the red realm we see? Right. Well, it's either he's distorted it, brought some power to it, but it's existing almost a little more peacefully
right.
with like floating stones and demogorgons running around barren land, but still not necessarily like the chaos that we see, the yeah. anger and the, so it's like he brought a lot of like hate and anger to the world or something. So you're right. And then I think in the next, you know, season five or movie five, whatever it's going to be, you're going to have to explain more of what did he do?
Right.
Because it seems like he's dead. Like they definitely went to the upside down and they, air quote, killed him, but they didn't. Also, he told Nancy what was going to happen. He foresaw the future and showed Nancy the future. And guess what? It happened. It yeah. still happened. It's one of those things like with Palpatine. It's like there are several different versions of what he could have saw at the end of Return of the Jedi or whatever. He saw different outcomes, but he believed in the one that was like, you know, most benefited him or what put him on top. That's the vision you want to kind of believe in. So right now we're in a situation where what he foresaw came to be, even though he might not have saw like the fact that he was going to get burned up and you know, where did he go? Did he get up and walk away from there, or did he transport to another realm? It's sort of a mystery as to where did Vecna go.
Right. So you know, not that I want to go into this all the way, but I've kind of wondered a little bit, especially with this season. Once they said like, hey, it's kind of stuck in 1983, which they still haven't dived into more. And then this season, like Max talking about, like, if I could, I'd make it, like, because they keep playing the Running Up This Hill and it's like all over TikTok.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, if I only could, I'd make a deal with God and I'd get him to swap our places.
What?
Remember, and Max was kind of saying to Billy, like, oh, you know, God, if I could go back in time and like uh-huh. whatever.
Yeah.
Only because the Duffer Brothers specifically said that, like, man, they felt bad actually that they killed Chrissy and Eddie, because like fans' reaction to them was so strong, and they felt like their chemistry on screen
yeah.
was so good that they actually like these, like, because like killing Bob, like, you know, like everyone loved him or whatever,
yeah,
but
yeah.
it's like it was like too powerful. It was part of the whole thing.
Yes.
But like Chrissy's only in like the first two episodes.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh man. So I'm wondering if they didn't necessarily leave the door open with the whole like 1983 thing. I almost feel like you could end this thing with like a, I don't know that you want to go this route, but like a thing where that's like, no, actually, because it's stuck in 1983, they could actually like go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Because like so many, I don't know, it's kind of weird because on one hand, I feel like every season has still sort of ended. Like it just, this is a show to me where I don't feel like they're going to like kill people off for the sake of shock value.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like it's still going to be a thing where it ends and kind of like everybody, like, it's yeah, just,
it's everyone's good or
every, like it just has a happy ending.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah,
like
yeah.
It just, I don't know why. It's because like every season still does kind of have like a happy ending, but then there's always like a darkness over it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I still have always just kind of felt like this thing is gonna have like a happy ending and yeah. no one's gonna like have a problem with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But death, of course, is a big deal. Like so, like we saw when Eddie dies and oh, and Dustin, which is like
oh my god,
Dustin talking to, you know, Dustin talking to like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
To his uncle and saying, hey, he died a hero and all this stuff. Like, I just would, I don't know, man. I just feel like maybe there's a way to still save
people who are gone.
People who are gone.
Because people love, I mean, shout out to Barb, you know, like Barb.
Everyone still loves her. I don't get the whole Barb deal. Only because she was laying there and she died like second episode.
I know, but it's like still like she was her friend and blah, blah, blah. Right. And it goes on. So, but the thing is that, yeah, you, so what happened with Max at the end, right? So like Elle kind of brings her back. She
right.
died.
Yeah.
She died and Elle brought her back. If we could swap places, did she do something? Did she, what did, we don't even know, they cut away to 2 days later.
Right.
And she,
I think she just
and,
caused her heart to stop, to start beating.
To start
again.
Beating again. Yeah. So, okay, there's that. But I wonder, yeah, if there is another supernatural kind of element to this where,
do you think Vecna's in Max now?
I don't know. Yeah. Like, because Will, again, is the one who still has at the end the creepy connection right. to everything and has always felt it and had to get away from it. So, but somebody, it feels like, because it's always been him who's had some weird connection to the mind flare and stuff. So, Max might have been saved, you know, like truly saved. I mean, still had like,
right.
can't see, can't whatever. And, oh, I don't know. Because, yeah, to bring them back, though, if there was a way to do right. something trippy like that, almost like you remember Donnie Darko was a cult kind right. of like film. And, you know, he wakes up just real quick. So Donnie Darko wakes, like plane falls through his roof, whatever. Thankfully he got up and he was in a dream state walking on a golf course. He goes back in time, wormhole situation. He feels he caused so many problems, the school to burn down.
Right.
He goes back and he stays in his bedroom when the plane falls through. It's a cult kind of film, but it's around that time. It's around this whole, it's got a Stranger Things vibe to it. So I do wonder if there is like a, we go back in time and we kind of right some wrongs, or there's a sacrifice, or Elle's like, look how much trouble I caused, kind of like Donnie Darko, like I put because Vecna says that, right? You did this. This is you, Elle. Like you opened this whole thing,
and, right?
And if she could swap places, and I don't know. It's they go to the bazaar and the beyond, you know.
Right.
So,
which is good because we've ended with more questions than we have answers. And then, man, they're going to wrap. They said, like, hey, 5 seasons is it, which is fine. I do feel like we're at the end, and I'd much rather this end on, like, an amazing sort of note
yeah.
than end with, like, with the opportunity to come back in the future mm-hmm. and do
mm-hmm.
more
mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, like, milk it out for all it's worth. Because really,
yeah.
you could come back in, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years when a lot of these, they're not really kids anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But when they're older and they have kids and yep. stuff like that, then you could, like in the show, right, you could have them like come back, you know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to see a Steve when he's 50, hopefully with Nancy, and like they have kids and
yeah.
now something's going on and they know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Mom and dad, I got to go back.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. you totally could and should do that. And it'd be huge.
It'd be huge. Cause the cool thing about, you know, Joyce and Hopper, and like you have sort of this, generational thing where like they're the adults doing stuff, helping out the kids, but then you also got that in between with like Nancy, you know, in the RV and talking about kids and us, them being the babysitter and Steve and everything like that. That would be really cool for them to do that. And if they want to do some side stuff in between, like start a new batch of kids dealing with something, Dustin shows up in one episode and
right.
like helps them or whatever and makes a cameo or something, like just to kind of keep things interesting. You could
right.
you could do that, but I don't know. That would. Yeah, we got to see how this whole thing sort of ends and what they're going to do to set it up, to leave it open, leave the mystery, some mystery box open. Because we keep saying, Will the Wise, by the way, like was giving some wise advice throughout this, you know, season. Like these things are starting to kind of like add up. That's the beauty of it and the brilliance is that like, even though they didn't expect this to go the way it did, they have said, no, what matters to people? They're very good at, I think, tapping into an audience and what they want. We want connections. We want to have some mystery that we can theorize a little bit on. We wonder about the clock and, you know, the four chimes. Some people were onto that before anybody else. Like, no, there's always four chimes, you know, and you're like, I didn't think anything of it, but no, clearly it's a thing. Four deaths is all he needs for some reason. And it's like, that feels like D&D, you know?
Right, like maybe the Four Horsemen of Apocalypse or something.
Yeah.
And so, wow, speaking of that, I mean, wow, the apocalypse basically happens. And Hawkins is like, I mean, it's opened. I mean, like it's no longer rifts. I mean, it's like the whole town's basically on burning down and stuff like that. So it's like, who knows what's, I mean, the military's going to be there.
Government
now,
conspiracy, government. Shutting her down. I mean,
it's like, a 7 something magnitude earthquake like hit this town. So it's like all hell has literally broken loose. And it's almost like, how would the world even come back? Like, I mean, the world as we know it come back from something like that.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like the government's gonna have to be like, they're gonna try to get in. Like,
so I almost have this narrative. Weird thing like they're gonna go back in time and undo it all.
Yeah. Because time, so that's why I said, like, he can see the future. So, and Elle sort of says, I can do what he can do.
Right.
And so, like, I can get in her mind as well. So, you could also just say Nancy was in his mind and knew what he was thinking would come. Like, it's just his thoughts about what his plan is. And so, his plan is for this to happen, and then it just happens to be this plan worked.
Right.
Or you could say he is trying to, you know, I don't
know. And how do we think that Vecna is still
alive?
Alive, because they destroyed his physical body, and L sort of destroyed his, like...
Oh, I think he's still got a connection to Will. I think it's like something like... Because Will...
Remember, Will had the slug in him.
Exactly. And he still somehow felt a connection. So they definitely went all psychological, mental sort of like connections. Like, he's attacking people.
He exists still in the dark plane or something.
Yeah, yes. And so there is some way that he can, I think, go back to his original Will.
How do they
Will
destroy
Byer.
It? Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's. I feel like there's going to be a really sad story for Will for some reason. Like, still, I don't know. Like, he's gonna. There's all this bonding where he's like, he's different. He's odd. He's
right.
Everyone's sort of like the obvious one is like L's different and everything, but really Will is dealing with this whole, you know, being different in our culture and like with his sexuality or whatever it is that they're you know, kind of implying. And it's like, okay, he is going to provide. Something. He's the end game, I feel like, for some reason.
Do you think they're going to kill like a bunch of characters off next season? Like, just, I don't know. I'm just like, at this point, there's like, we totally all thought Steve was going to die, but now it's like, I just don't see why you'd kill him now.
He's so popular, and like, the only way I guess you could really let a guy like that go would be to end it all. Like, it wouldn't feel right if they would have ended. I guess like season 4, like season 5 without him, you're like, what? You know, like, it's crazy.
I honestly, God, at this point, feel like everyone's like, I just feel like everyone's going to kind of survive. I just don't know, like...
Yeah.
Like, at this point, like, there was better moments to kill off a lot of characters.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're sort of past, like, a lot of that now. To where I'm just kind of... Like, especially because some characters now... Like, we've gotten so far away from their story and sort of, like, the focus on them. Mm-hmm. Like, Mike, for example. It's like... Man, seasons like 1 and 2, you feel like Mike's kind of like the main character, and everything's told through Mike's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But then it sort of shifts, and you begin sort of branching out, and like now Mike kind of feels like some of these storylines you kind of forget they're even going on. Like Jonathan, right? It's like the whole like Steve Jonathan thing, where it's like Steve got so popular because season 1 you're like, okay, Steve's like a side character, and it's really about Jonathan and Nancy.
Yeah.
And then season 2. Like Steve takes a different role, but his role kind of, but Jonathan
elevates
and Nancy, right? And then like this season, like John, you're like, you kind of forget that Jonathan and Nancy are even a thing.
I know. Yeah. Which is, interesting. So like it's balancing all of it is a little bit weird. Cause like even times where like Lucas and Dustin, you're sort of like, okay, what is everybody doing? They still did a really good job of like bringing on new characters and balancing it all, but like having them matter and like feel like they, cause really the one thing they do with Mike that was really good is like, he feels inferior, right? I don't have special powers. Right. I'm not whatever. You're a superhero, Al. He's the heart. Will draws the picture. It's this whole thing. It won't surprise me at all if the Shocker, we all think about Steve. They set us up for all these different cool things, like the babysitter dying for Dustin, and like a, right. if it's Mike at the end, who at the heart, I don't know. Like,
I guess I just don't.
I don't know how you get there, but I'm just saying, like,
right. like even 11, it's like 11 to me makes the most sense to be like the character who dies, because it's like, okay,
yeah.
you have to do all the, whatever.
Yeah.
I just don't, in all honesty, I just don't see it. I just don't see any of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Max right now, like, it makes sense for Max to die, but I just don't
no,
see
no, it doesn't make any sense for Max to die, or for Lucas to whatever. They did a great job putting them all in peril and making sure that, like, in this season, everyone felt like they were in jeopardy, like, sort of right. like the other kids and stuff. Because I was like, man, who's gonna you know, lose their life here? Like, before they all get wrapped up and we see, like, Eddie doing his thing, then it became more clear, like, okay, yeah, Eddie's a goner. Like, Eddie's right. having his moment. It's whatever, and it's awesome. But because it had just been Steve who was, like, caught by the vines or whatever. But no, they all three were.
Right.
So it kind of made them all three safe in my mind.
Like, Robin's now definitely got to be safe.
Yeah. Because right. she's got, like relationships.
Steve and Nancy need to get together. Jonathan's the only one. Jonathan really is the one character in the group where I'm like, I don't know. Jonathan's story, like, to me, has gotten by far the most sort of, like, lost over yeah. If I had to pick one character who's, like, plot, how I feel like it's just gotten, like, squeezed and squeezed and squeezed down to, like, yeah. not really being anything.
Isn't it crazy? They just turned him into a stoner. He's a stoner.
Well, like, I'm not against, like, that idea. I think that's a good. I'm just saying. Yeah. I what you're saying. Yeah, it's just yeah. kind of crazy. But it's just like he also moves, like, way away from Nancy, mm-hmm. and then, like, he even feels like less sort of. He's like, I'm just less involved. Like,
yeah, he right. is. He's just, and so, like, the comeback on that was like, hey, I know I haven't been around a whole lot with Will, or like, I need to be here for you more, and I need to, like, step up and be a bit, I'm always here, Will, and he, like, they hug it out, and it's this whole thing. But I feel like the shift is going right. to go back to, because actually, Will's another character that, it feels kind of weird, right? Because, like, Elle is laying in the bathtub fighting this whole fight, and all four of those characters are on standby, just there right. helping her out. Will is giving advice to Mike. He's Will the Wise,
right.
and Mike is the heart, and Mike is, like, keeping her going or whatever. Yep. And
oh, Will has to know. Have a bigger role in the next season.
Yeah, it's like he just kind of got sidelined, and they're building up a big emotional, because really in the first season we're just like, okay, it's a kid who's lost, like, he's Will Byer, and then who is he to what, like, yeah, I don't know. And so over the last couple of seasons, it's like he's now grown to a person where, like, man, he is different than everyone else. He's losing his friend Mike. He's you know, losing touch with his brother. He feels alone, isolated and stuff. And he's just trying to figure it all out. And he doesn't fit in our society at that time. It's really weird. So they have definitely pulled on the heartstrings in terms of, like, us feeling for him. Like, I feel way more for him than I do, like, Mike. Okay, like, yeah I get your struggles with Elle and she's a superhero and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's cool. But, yeah, I don't know. Anytime where Will was, like, crying, I was like, God. He's going through, like, when he tells that story to Mike.
We need to go back and listen to this, because I think what they're going to do, this is sort of my one. There's also something I think further beyond with Max. In, like, remember Elle was in that memory. She's like, but it's kind of different. And, like, something. So, like, that memory wasn't fully explored enough. Like, Billy's memory made sense because they kept showing it and showing it. And then we got the whole thing. And I was like, okay, we get it. Why it makes sense.
Yeah.
That memory didn't really make sense, except it's just her skateboarding. She's like, but I'm in, like, another memory or whatever.
Yeah.
They didn't really sort of, like, fully, like, kind of explore that.
Right.
So I think we will come back and get, like, the full picture of that memory.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's, like, something more. I don't think Max has powers or anything like that, but I do think there's, like, something else there mm-hmm. with Max, because Vecna, like, really focuses on her.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, chose to also, he also, like, because this doesn't make sense, is he takes over, and why doesn't this count as a murder?
Which one?
So he takes over Billy,
mm-hmm.
Vecna, essentially through the mind flayer, takes over Billy,
mm-hmm.
but now he has, like, a different plan because that didn't work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How did that not count as a kill? Because he technically kills Billy.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't a part of his, like, ritual. Like, he seems like he's done, like, some ritual thing or something. I'm just thinking in terms of D&D, maybe, like, that was just, like, one takeover, but he hadn't set up this whole, like, well, if you do four in a row at a certain time of whatever, stars are aligned. I don't know.
Yeah.
It feels more ceremonial, what he's doing in this thing.
Yeah.
It's going to
be this big reveal that sort of explains, like, the whole deal, which is, like, hey, first there was tunnels under Hawkins.
Yeah.
Then yeah, there yeah. was this and this and this. And this. So it need, you need to sort of tie it all together. Like, no, this mattered here. This mattered here. And that's where I think it's going to I think that's going to be a thing with Will, where I think Will is going to I do think Will has powers, and it's going to be this like last second where Eleven gets knocked down or whatever. And then Will steps up out of nowhere. And or it's like and they start to do all these flashbacks. And it's like remember when Bob was telling Will about like when he was like. I think it was maybe bullied or something. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. Remember, Bob had that speech where he was like, yes. God, I just get so frustrated and like all this stuff. And I think like there'll be lines in there that matter. And they all sort of come together.
Yeah.
And it's going to there's going to be like a big Will thing.
Well, OK, how about this? Because Vecna, Henry, whatever, is sort of a odd kind of case and goes into like the darker arts and feels like sort of a kid who went bad and just has all these issues. But tapped into some kind of real, as far as I know, like some real sort of magic stuff or whatever, you know?
Right.
And L was created from that. But it wouldn't be cool if, like, right. Will was also like Henry in a way.
Right.
Except for the mirror kind of opposite, so. Like the light version. It's almost like if Henry's in that upside down realm and would want to take out the equivalent, like find someone right. who's similar to him, who has that gift or right. something.
Because remember, Will's deal is so different
yeah.
than anything else. Because like, well, kind of Barb a little bit too, where it was like, it's like Barb and Will weren't just, you know, it's like, okay, Vecna like connects through the mind and like kills people, mm-hmm. Like, Chrissy and all this stuff inside the world
mm-hmm. yeah.
right
yeah
okay so he kills people inside of our world
mm-hmm.
so he's like he snaps their arms and whatever
yeah
okay Barb and Will were pulled from yeah. like sort of the outside into the upside down, not necessarily through a portal or anything else. They're like yeah. pulled like because Will is in the upside down hiding
yes yep
he's hiding for mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. time. And so like that's a totally different ball game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I almost feel like there is something and I think what they're going to do is Vecna is still out there whatever, but it's going to be revealed like and they're going to show us images of each cuz clearly these guys are smart enough like
yeah.
boom 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 over the whole deal and then yeah. it all sort of makes sense.
It has to kind of you snap you pull it in it all
because there was already a couple of moments this season where they said a few things like remember when Lucas is like talking to Max and he's like hey remember like I you know all the people that the teacher saw like
oh yeah
right
had like a thing or
and they talked to this teacher and all that stuff. Do you think Will was one of the other ones?
Absolutely he had his issues, he had his things that was working through. Now I'm just thinking in past years when he was still at Hawkins and stuff. Yeah, he had issues. Yeah. He had stuff
and
going
maybe
on.
Vecna went through because he can connect it to people's minds. So if you're Vecna, it would make sense to go into that teacher's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have insight on all these kids who potentially would have had mm-hmm. drama. I don't think it's like that. I don't think it's like that teacher is like connected, you know, like whatever. But I think somehow Vecna realized this would be the thing. Because I think he is sort of confined more. I think he's obviously more focused on Hawkins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he does sort of imply there's this implication that like he wants L. He's super glad that L is there for this, but he was moving forward without L. Right. just happened to
well,
be
well
L
was in California.
Yeah, and so he's still just trying to gain access back to that plane and to create it in his own image, all that kind of stuff or whatever. But it's interesting that Will Byer is the first kid to go missing. And right. he wanted him for something, for some reason. Because at the end of season one, they do find him with a thing in his mouth. He hid for the whole time. And then they get, like, whoever gets him, right? Somebody gets him and has him connected to the whole thing. Remember, he's got the thing in his mouth. Right. When they find him, they pull it out, like, oh, my God. Like, and they get him out of the upside down. But he still had a slug or things. He's still attached to it. Somehow is connected. But he's the first one. He was the first attack. The vanishing of Will Byer was the opening, you know, episode. So, like, yeah, there's going to be something huge with him. They just have to. I mean, it goes back to the beginning, and he's a special kid who believed in the party, who was their magic user.
Yeah, because remember, because he was saying something about, like, I offered you a thing, which was, like, when he was still Henry and before she pushed him through.
Yeah.
Like, remember? And then
I offered you a place by my side.
Right. But then he also said, like, he said something about it, like, and then again, I have to go back and look at the exact line, but he said something about it again, but then they showed her pushing the mm-hmm. Demogorgon through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the, because it does feel like he was like cool with Elle. Like at the, right. like he wasn't going to like, because she came out and found what he had done that made him mad, you know? And mm-hmm. so otherwise he was like kind of okay with her and was going to let her live and stuff. Right. I mean, because she helps him a little bit and like, well, I want you by my side. And
right.
it was that weird. I mean, you talk about a weird, like he's got her tied weird. Up there and he's like stroking her face and stuff. It's weird. So he needs like respect for her power in some way. Like she's super.
She basically just beat him again.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's something.
And she beat him like being piggybacked.
Yeah.
So like on a straight on fight, I'm pretty sure 11 can just absolutely take him.
Yeah. So he might have to do something to come back. You're going to have to like show him gaining power. But what if, you know, like this is crazy, but like it's Stranger Things. Maybe, you know, Will was a spy. Remember in that one season, he tells him, he's like, I'm sorry, he made me do it. He's like from the bed. He's like screaming at his mom and telling like, I'm sorry. He's a spy for the Mind Flayer. And he tells them what's going on.
Well, really the Mind Flayer being Vecna
is using him. Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's using Will. So what if Will is pulled over to the dark side? What if something happens to where he's like, you know, that he has a power or some potential that he's after and that's acquired by Vecna, which makes him stronger. Because he's going to do something to up the ante on L. Otherwise, L will find him again and just, boom, you're done. You know, he has to come back more powerful, doesn't he? Or he has to come, you know, I don't know, like have another device or another plan. If it's just L foils it again, what's the thing? And this is the things that the Duffer brothers are discussing and have already kind of figured out probably. And we're just sitting over here trying to theorize about it because
yeah, we're gonna have to do a Stranger Things rewatch. In all honesty,
I think people have asked for it. Like we got some messages the other day, by the way, from people who wanted us to kind of share our thoughts on season 2 and 3 because back in the day,
right? Yeah, we did season 1, but we never did 2 and 3.
Yeah,
yeah, we're just gonna have to come back and do a Stranger Things rewatch. In all honesty, because it's just so good. So, okay, so I guess just focus on some other things here. What we loved about it. I mean. Not just obviously some big takeaways, and then as you can do some big takeaways, mm-hmm. and we're gonna have to come back and do more on Stranger Things. But man, I mean, first of all, it's insane that Netflix just basically put every single streaming service I think I've ever seen for a long time into absolute shame, like over this. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like it's just like it's so funny because we've been watching Kenobi and a lot of the stuff that Disney's been doing, like Moon Knight and a lot of this Marvel stuff, and I'm just like, dude, they just absolutely just put them to shame. I mean, like it's like laughable to compare. I mean, it's just like, dude, I don't know how much they spent on that final episode. They said about $30 million per episode on average. Obviously, this was basically two. So you're probably at like, this was really almost 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. So you're probably at like $60 to $80 million for that episode. And it's like, dude, that's like kind of what movies go for. Like lower, most like big Marvel movies are like $250 million or something like that. But I was like, dude, that single episode is better than like a ton of like Marvel movies and stuff like that I've seen. I'm just like, dude. Whatever Netflix spent, it was worth every single freaking. And I did see that it shattered Netflix's like watch records.
I bet it did, dude. Let's just for a quick second. As much as I do, I am a huge Star Wars fan. I love Kenobi. I love a lot of these different things. Matt and I mean, here's something that I know you love, which is we love Game of Thrones. We love that show. That series is freaking phenomenal, best of all time. This literally came in here and like you know when you jump from point of view and those different things, like this was like okay. What they're doing here affected what they were doing here.
And it was happening all at once.
Yes, and they actually made it all work because, like, Elle says, no, it has to be tonight. Right? You know, like, you have information that you know this is happening now. Somehow the characters are all connected and you find ways to... It's not coincidence that, like, they attack the Demogorgon, like, the Demogorgon, I keep saying that, over in Russia, and it's... They know that that needs to happen now. You know what I mean? Like, everyone... Whatever they were doing mattered to the larger story and the piece of the pie. Because I was like, how are they all going to get back together? This just it's crazy. They thought that through, and they built suspense through that. Every freaking shot is so good. I remember what it was like season 1 and season 2 when we were talking about this, like you and I together. The lighting and the way they do reflective surfaces and the shots and the angles of camera—it's brilliant.
It is the most beautiful thing. And I can say this, and it's like, dude. I know I gave it like a 10 out of 10 because like it was and it was like because like but the CG and even that Vader fight like mm-hmm. in the episode 6 of Kenobi, the way they're doing the lightsabers, I still don't like. Mm-hmm. It's just weird. Like the rocks and stuff, like, dude, it's just not even close. Like
no, yeah.
Every this is... like the CG in this is un Like, believable. It's so, like, it just looks so freaking good.
And real.
And it's just like, dude, it is like, I know, like this season took a lot longer because, one, there's COVID, and two, also, it's just like, hey, it takes longer to build and write and all this stuff, but it's worth it. I'd rather wait for something to be amazing.
Me too.
Than watch something that's rushed and sucks. Because, dude, like, comparing it to just Kenobi, which was like the thing we just sort of watched, which was should have been this. Top to bottom, it should have been this level. And now, like, having seen this, like, it's so far beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, anything. Like, even Mandalorian, I love. Like, Mandalorian is freaking great.
Yeah.
And so it's like, they're two totally different things. But it's like Book of Boba Fett, like outside of, like, the Mandalorian, when he shows up, it gets so much better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, dude,
let me,
it's fucking laughable. Sorry for the language, but like, dude, it's a joke.
How about this, like, though? Even some of the Marvel TV shows and that kind of stuff. It feels like Disney is saying, like, oh, it's a TV show, so we can low tier that low budget. Whereas Netflix and Game of Thrones and stuff like that, they're saying, no, this is like our thing.
Yeah.
You can't even compete with that. Because as you say, you lump, like, you look at, like, the Star Wars sequels, and even though, like, not the story, but, like, look at the visual effects and all the, I mean, didn't skimp at all. Like, stuff was sick, you know what I mean? But it's like, they totally have said, no, we're going to do more for less, but you can tell it's for less, and that's the problem.
Now, to be fair, really quickly, Netflix actually just got slapped hard on the stock market because their numbers are so bad because they were spending so much money. But there's a difference of saying, hey, we're going to go spend money on Stranger Things, which is a proven commodity, and saying, because they were also spending like similar budgets on like literally anything. We're trying to create so much content. Well, like there's a difference. You know what I mean? And that's House of the Dragon is coming out, and HBO said, we're spending like $20 million an episode on House of the Dragon, because they know Game of Thrones is a proven commodity. But here you're gonna say, like, we're gonna cheapskate, like, dude, Moon Knight CG, some of it's like bad.
Yeah.
And also, and it, like, you can just tell, and it just looks weird, and it just looks like,
it just looked like
so many people were criticizing even Doctor Strange, which is a movie, and they're like, dude, well, how is it that the CG in Iron Man in like 2008 looks better? And they're doing a quantity over quality thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And on streaming, like, it's proven that, yes, like, you need new stuff coming out. But if you go look at what, like, the top, like, streamed things are consistently, like, dude, it's things like The Office, and it's things like Game of Thrones is still, because it's
quality.
It's quality. Yeah. And people will go back and rewatch that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, really. To be actually honest, like, some of the most streamed content is like kids' stuff, and that takes like nothing to make. You know what I mean? It's like Coco-Million, like Bluey, or like, or whatever it is.
Right,
costs like next to nothing to make, but you make it, and it's the kids love it. So it's just like, what are they doing? You know what I mean? It's like, I will never go back. I'll pretty much never go back and rewatch Kenobi, but I will always go back and rewatch the Star Wars movies.
Oh yeah. That is interesting. Yeah, because they're,
and I'll go back and rewatch Mandalorian because the story is great.
Yeah, and also I think Mandalorian visually too was better for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, so you can tell, and I think they've thought maybe people can't as much, and they've been willing to skimp on some stuff or whatever. And it's like, no, even people like me, who I'm not a huge CGI, but like, that's Matt's category. Like, I'm honestly, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, this seems, it doesn't take much to entertain me, but when I notice, it's sort of like,
exactly,
that sucks. Like, that's not,
you can, like, that's, you know, the thing, that's, is you can tell, is you, like, when you watch things side by side. So it's like, you watch, especially now when it's like just so easy, like, literally people, especially it's like the deep fake stuff. It's like, we watch, like, you pull up somebody on YouTube and they've already done it better. It's like, joke. Like, that's an absolute joke.
Yeah.
But like this, like, every time, and it's always been the case, like, Stranger Things has never had a moment that I can think of where the CG looks bad. And dude, they're doing like full on upside down sets and all of this stuff.
Well, even just all the camera work and stuff. So again, because I loved Kenobi, and I actually, you know, probably will go rewatch it, but like the lighting and stuff, dude, it's one of those things, it's so dark, it's so shady, you can't see stuff, the shaky cam, all that kind of stuff is happening. Whereas in Stranger Things, even when they go to a dark sort of upside down, you can see everything, it's well lit, whatever those guys are doing,
so much of game
cinematography is so far above.
So there is a difference. So, and the thing is, in They use the volume a lot more now with Disney, which is that sort of AI, and other companies are now doing it too. Mm-hmm. Because the green screening, you run into some issues with like lighting, where if the lighting isn't right, it kind of screws your whole scene up. Yeah. However, I would say that I still feel like green and blue screens are, even though it's more expensive and stuff like that, I think it actually looks better sometimes than, say, the volume, which is that artificial thing. Because you're sort of, I don't know, I think you just have more control over it. It's more expensive, I think.
Right. I felt like they said the volume was something like their fix for a lot of thing, like low budget. Like
you no longer have to fly to certain locations, and like they were saying, like
yeah. But
yeah, but it's also some of the story you tell inside those things. It was like Vader and Kenobi fighting inside of a construction yard. It felt like they were filming. Yeah. It literally looks like a fan film down the street.
I know. That is, yeah, that's unfortunate. Because like you said, there's not a moment when we were watching Stranger Things where
Upside down. And it's like everything's blue and red and like black. And it's like there's vines everywhere and all this stuff.
It's like fantastical. Yeah. And also, like when you think about Star Wars.
You never lose it never, like when there's bad CG, it sticks out. Like the fact that Stranger Things creates this world in the Upside Down and whatever, that for a second never takes you out of the moment.
Yeah. That's huge.
Different.
Especially when you're in fantasy and sci-fi. Like you really have to, you have to be immersed in it. You got to feel like it's real. It's like, oh my God, that was the genius of Star Wars originally, which was like they did practical effects and stuff that you're like, wait, what? It doesn't look like, you know, like, I don't know, like, fabricated. You felt like you were there. That was what changed the game for Star Wars back in the day. But you don't have that. Like now with these, with you have moments, too many moments. You can get by with a moment too, or, you know, here or there, but when you have too many strung together, you're like, okay.
Yeah, and this Marvel feels like and Disney and Marvel are just, I don't know, it's something's going on where there's just
expect that from them, I guess, normally in this whole, when you see it, you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So, and like you said with Stranger Things, they have invested their money, at least in this project, really well. I don't know about everything else, but like pay these guys whatever they want because they're writing and directing this stuff. You know what I mean?
I don't know what they're going to do after Stranger Things, but if I'm Netflix, I'm not letting them go anywhere. And I'm saying like, we'll give you guys whatever it costs to create a brand new exclusive show or whatever. But if I'm Warner Brothers or Amazon especially Amazon, if I'm Amazon, I'm going to them and I'm saying like, we have more money than anybody.
Yeah.
And we want the next big thing. And you have complete, because look at like Amazon's best show is The Boys. Mm-hmm. And it's like as rated R as you can get out.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like, I'm sure the Duffer Brothers could make it more rated R if they wanted or whatever. But just like, hey, if I'm Amazon, I'm going to them and I'm saying, we want to give you an exclusive deal. You can create literally whatever you want.
Yeah, because they've done a really good job with, like, you know, J.J. Abrams always talks about, like, the mystery box and, like, what is the creating mystery and creating, like, a question mark or whatever. So they've done a genius job of that, but, like, that's not the only thing they did. Everything is stunning. Everything is, like, nostalgia. They use all these different things inside of storytelling that create, like, this whole feel.
It's the choice of music that fits inside the world and the camera angle. Right. And like, everything from top to bottom is like the pacing. It's so good. It's like, this whole thing is a masterpiece that like nothing else compares to.
Yeah.
The only other thing I can even think of is like seasons, like really, and we're like the biggest Game of Thrones fans, but like seasons really like 2 through 4 of Game of Thrones is, I mean,
yeah, they're killing it. I mean, it's like even little decisions, like when Hopper gets the freaking American jacket out, you know, like he's rolling with like a freaking like some weird coat that like has red, white, and blue on it. And he's in Russia. I mean, just little things that you're just like laughing at. Like little tiny things like that add up. Matter.
Yeah, because they're doing something else where it's not just like some things where is like the drama and the suspense is very heavy, and then you have like a moment of comedy. Like Marvel overdoes the comedy to where a lot of times it feels like they don't know where to go except to make a joke, or like they feel like you have to make a joke.
Yeah.
These guys go from horror to comedy.
Yes.
Which is an even further stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, to be able to do that is insane.
Yeah, it's a real talent, because look at like, and I actually think even the way I would love to see like a documentary and all this kind of stuff, because the way in which they direct these young actors, give these actors all sorts of credit or whatever, but I guarantee, because I haven't seen a moment where these young kids like have, awkward moments or awkward delivery of lines, however long it takes to reshoot something, I feel like they're going in there making them look like freaking stars. Like even Lucas, who I don't know, or actually Will does a great, this was the best I've seen him, like, I forget the kid's name, but like does such a good job in terms of acting or whatever. Like, we talk about comedy, so like Dustin's moment where every time Dustin yells at Steve, drive, like he's like, get us out of Steve, like he's just yelling, like I laughed every single time because it's like, it's so, like it's Dustin so exaggerated and like, get us out of here. He's like, he reminds you of that kid. I teach kids like that I'm just like, oh my God, that kid is overly dramatic, but I love him.
Well, like, dude, like even... Even stuff like social issues, like clearly a big thing of that they've been pushing, which is like, you know, we see this more and more with like, hey, we're trying to be inclusive in towards of like, you know, today's society, which is like obviously diversification and all this stuff. Like so many other things we talk about feeling forced. They have totally added in.
Oh, I know.
In the past, like two seasons. Like the idea that it's okay to be gay or lesbian and like being accepting of it without forcing it down your throat. And it's like, you've even done that in a way that's like, they've added in even like social justice issues into this. And it's like so many things fumble. Like my, you know, one of the, I think still probably most people consider, I think the new one's a little bit better to me, the Batman. Like I always go back to like The Dark Knight, which most people consider to be the best superhero movie ever.
Yeah.
Like at the very end of The Dark Knight, like out of sort of nowhere, they get into this like real quick thing about like, is it okay for the government essentially to be spying on you? Like remember when when Lucius Fox creates, when Batman's going after the Joker at the end of The Dark Knight, and he's like, I need to use like the cell phone pinging thing.
Yes.
And they're you'd be able to spy on anybody. So it's like in the very end of the movie, they tie in this like little kind of weird like government surveillance. Yeah, is it okay? Is it not okay thing? And it's like this sort of political issue, like at the very end of like the whole deal.
Right.
Kind of weird, but like whatever.
Yeah.
Here, over the course of two seasons, across two different characters,
right,
with Robin and
Will.
And Will,
yeah,
in set in the 80s when like it really wasn't okay to do it.
Yep.
Right. And I think I think one of the reasons it works so well is because like it's even believable, like for it taking place in the 80s. Because in the 80s, it would have been looked on like even more sort of like,
absolutely.
It
would be frowned upon.
People would be like scared or freaked out of them because your character is dealing with like fighting demons. So you're like, your whole perspective of the world is so changed anyway, to where it even makes more sense. Because like sometimes you do a piece where it's like, like today you see a lot of movies and stuff like going back and like doing like just say, for example, like it's just this weird thing. Like Disney, I'm trying to remember, they did, was it The Fox and the Hound or not The Fox and the Hound, but like, I don't know, Two Things About Dogs or something.
Anyway, okay.
Can't remember, whatever it is. It's some old Disney movie. They did like a live action version and they had like a couple that was like black and white, but it's like set in like Victorian times. Like that would not have happened.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like that didn't happen. I know today we're trying to, which is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's like, if you take out historical accuracy sometimes, like it's like, hold on a second, this wouldn't work. So like historically accurate, like people would have, especially in Indiana, would have not been at all like accepting of like gay couples in like the 1980s.
No.
It's just like that freaked people the heck out. People are still freaked out about it today. Obviously way, 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 way less. It's so much more today. But managed it with Will and with Robin in a way to where it makes so much sense and it's so done so good. And that's something else that they've like, it's like these guys can just add on more stuff that you didn't think they'd ever be able to do. And they do it phenomenally.
And they do it. Let me just talk real quick about that, because they have one of the best things that you do as either like a writer in a novel or whatever, screenplay, whatever, is you don't do some of the stuff that like it's a different agendas. It's different, whatever. I guess they're both okay. But like, I think the way as a consumer of entertainment, like that you prefer, I prefer to kind of figure it out, and I'm like, cause you don't know that Will, what's going on with Will right away. You know, he's different. Is he odd? What's going on? You don't really know. As it grows and you love him and you love all these, you start to realize what's going on. Nowhere did you say in season one, he's gay. You didn't say that.
No.
And that's the beauty of it, is you don't directly tell the audience. You do indirect references and you let them figure it out and they infer, and then they're like, oh dude, I get this. Or some people are saying, hey, I saw that from season one, I saw that from season two. And it's what we do, like in we do tell our kids when they're writing papers, don't, when you're characterizing, try to do indirect characterization, right? So what did characters say about each other? What did it, like, how did they look? How did they walk? What was their body language? All that kind of tone of voice. That tells you more about a character than just saying, oh, they are these things. Like, directly stating it sometimes works, but you don't want to overdo that. And I feel like, what was it? The Miss Marvel. You had said, like, when you just come right out, you're just like, we're putting this out there right now directly that this character and this fit. Like, actually, you look at, I've watched the second episode, when they go to the mosque or whatever, you don't need to tell us up front really what, like ethnicity or religion or faith.
Right.
We find that out along the way. You don't need to say it, I guess, like up front sort of.
Right.
You can figure it out along the way. And I feel like that's almost a better way to experience, if that makes sense. You know,
I know.
It's a more natural, like,
on the tagline, it's like a Muslim character. And it's like, dude, I feel like that's like, in all honesty, I also feel like that, I don't know, I feel like it turns, like, it's going to immediately turn people off and set this thing where it's just like, like, that's awesome that she is, but I feel like you're setting that's a total Disney thing where they're like, hey, if you don't like it, then whatever, then you're a toxic fan,
right?
Fan or whatever.
Where it's like we want to just go. So like this was two gay characters, right? Who are like, as we go along, we're sort of like witnessing all of their issues and problems, and we're like experiencing it through their friends who are helping them deal with it.
Better because then you feel bad for them,
yeah.
As opposed to them, like, again, like saying, like if you, I feel like because obviously, like, we're two people who are very accepting, like, my brother's gay and everything,
but I feel like
the purpose of your story is to get people, is like really to drive home, like, ultimately, like, the people who don't think it's okay to now see it and care about these characters, and then, like, that changes their perspective. And I feel like the way these guys do it, where you sort of develop and you care about these characters and you want to see them succeed,
right?
That's the then you've actually achieved your goal better.
Yeah, you have a little bit, right? Yeah, and you've almost made them feel more just like organically. It doesn't feel like, you said, forced or whatever, even though you are. I'm totally cool with like saying, no, we are making this a thing. We want these type of characters in our thing. Cool. Just like, they should be as natural as Mike and as everyone else in it, right? They should be naturally occurring and not feel like so.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that they've always been there. This is the thing. Like that's a part of it. Like, just, yeah. So when it feels like not, I guess, it's okay with it.
There's a difference between something being forced and natural.
Yeah, exactly. And so, again, as a director behind the scenes, you guys saying, we want this as an objective we're going to have, that's fine. The execution of it is important for that character. Just like saying, I want to have a black character in Star Wars, right? Yeah. So this is the same thing like John Boyega, right? Cool. We want that. Press that agenda. That's fine.
Absolutely.
But then when you write it and you present it, you don't come out there and like it just needs to be, he fits in. He shouldn't have to come out and say, you know, like that he's like, I don't know. I feel like you shouldn't have to come out and say, like, make this big parade. Like, I'm. No, that's good. We see it. Like, more and more and more and more of it. Like, having more female characters.
Here's the difference is that there are black characters in Star Wars. When Lando shows up, he's awesome.
Yeah.
When Mace Windu shows up, he's freaking sweet. And
yes,
we love him.
Yes.
Like, and that's the thing. It's like, nobody's against, like, black characters in Star Wars.
Yeah, or female leads and all
exactly.
that. Exactly.
Yeah. So, right. We've had female leads. We love.
I know.
Like that's the whole thing. Ahsoka, like, everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
Leia. Everything.
Leia. The whole deal.
Yeah.
The problem is that now Disney, especially, has this agenda where they say like Moses Ingram is a black character. Like,
yeah, it's almost
okay. Like I don't, you know, whatever. And then that sets the stage of like, if fans don't like that character, then it's an issue.
Yeah, you know, because exactly.
Like, how is it that there's no, like, I guess that's sort of my thing. Is like, how is it that with Star Wars, there's all this other stuff,
right?
With a lot of these other shows and fandoms, like, you never hear about this stuff. You only hear about it like with Star Wars. Like, Stranger Things has a black character dating a white character.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't.
And
there's no social media pushback on that.
Yeah,
even though maybe historically accurately in, I don't know, middle of nowhere, Indiana, even in the 80s, that might have not been a thing.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, I know. They just do. I guess the thing is, like, their execution of,
is so much better than everybody else's that it's, like, other issues that other studios run into.
Yeah.
Whether it's through social media, the way they present it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, anything. You begin to look across the board at all of the other things, whether it's CG or, like, the way the story's written or whatever. Like, somehow, Stranger Things specifically, I'm sure, like never runs into any of the issues, which leads to tell you that these guys are doing every single thing you could possibly imagine better than everybody else.
Yeah, like they're giving, so what they talk about in Star Wars a lot is like having a character and giving them moments, like those, like John Boyega's character Finn, giving him moments that we care about and building moments around him and making them matter and feel whatever and significant. They do that in Stranger Things for every single character, regardless of they all, like, you are, when you are attached to a cast of characters the way you are with Stranger Things, it's wild, right? You care about all of them so much. You're just like, oh my God. Like, Eddie shows up this season and we're like, I'm brought to tears by the end of this thing, because he's a weird kid in a D&D club, and they make that sort of like, they're bringing to light even that issue, right? Like nerds and like nerd culture versus like the jocks and things that historically happened or whatever, and how they were kind of called these weird cults. And like, I mean, we talked about on our Harry Potter podcast, Elder Wand, by the way, check this out, like that, you know, growing up in the 90s, a lot of parents came out and they were just sort of like, that's witchcraft, right? Absolutely. You had all these things going on where like that, you're alienating that group and they're weird and they're odd and like, get your pitchforks out. It's like,
especially, and the funny thing is like, Ez and I, it's, you know, it's different. It's also different too for like, I think like kids today and stuff like that, because we live in such a different society than we did. We grew up in the 90s. So just, you know, a decade later, really, than Stranger Things. But we also grew up in tiny little Mount Vernon, Ohio, which is exactly what Hawkins is.
Yes, it
like
is.
Indiana, like it, Hawkins isn't a real town, but you know what I mean? It's like it would quite literally be the exact same experience.
Yeah. And so I just think, I don't know, like I'm very happy to be like a fan and involved in this fandom for the show, because they just reward fans and they do such a good job by bringing other people in. It just
I'll say this. If Stranger Things can stick the landing, which is the final season, whether it's just like a one episode movie, which I feel like you probably could do, or it's like 2 to 3 episodes. I honestly don't even know that they need, I don't know that we would need 9 episodes to finish it.
Yeah.
You know. I feel like honestly you could do like a 3 episode, like I feel like you could finish it within about, I feel like 3 hours you could finish it, whether you want to do like one movie or you want to do like just what you did here where it's like 2 episodes, but it's split. I almost feel like you could probably do that. 2 episodes, so like about 3 hours, like 1 hour and then 2. And you could probably finish the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If it can stick the landing, then it will have had 5 amazing seasons, whereas Game of Thrones had, like, season 1 was really good.
Yeah.
Then you get that stretch of, like, season 2 through 4, where 4 is by far the best season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And then it starts to go down a little bit, down with, like, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Right.
Even though the ratings went up and up and up.
Yeah, yeah.
But if Stranger Things can stick the landing and be, like, just as good as it's been this entire time.
Yep.
Then I think I'm willing to crown Stranger Things as the single best show in the history of television.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, because I like it.
I mean, and its final season could be an 8 out of 10, and I'm willing to crown it.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't have to do – it really just has to, as you say, stick the landing to something. It's done so much awesome stuff in the air that like it's just needs to come down here, land, and give us a good conclusion that we're all like, whoa. There's still one little question mark, or maybe a side big question mark, but yet still, like, we got all this cool stuff. Emotionally, we're pulled in all different directions. They'll do it. I kind of have a feeling, because I was worried they were going to sort of lose track of stuff here, but no. They geniusly put this together, and I'm like – even though they maybe didn't have all this planned from the get-go, they thought you can clearly see that they set stuff up from season 2 on that has mattered, that came back up in this, and they did flashbacks to some of that stuff and everything. So it just, they made it all kind of connect. So I'm really looking forward to season 5, and I just feel like these guys are...
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. They're killing it. It's beautiful. And I freaking just want more of it, man. It's
same.
It's good. It's really good. And shout out to all the kids who pulled off like amazing, again, did amazing job acting and stuff. Like, those kids are like, I don't know. I care about them all. You know, it's like crazy. Like, I care about these characters and stuff. And they're good.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you guys as always for listening. Since they're just doing audio today, but yeah, God, so fun. We're gonna have to do a Stranger Things rewatch. Maybe once, maybe a little later in the year. Maybe once we get some news on Stranger Things season 5, it might be back. You know, I think next we should probably do Umbrella Academy, because hadn't even started, because this block right here we're in is just so crazy. It was like Kenobi, and then Stranger Things, and like still kind of hangover from Top Gun, and then Thor: Love and Thunder is next weekend.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
So yeah, we're definitely gonna have to go do that, which I'm really excited for. But then we do have a little bit of a break, kind of like in between Thor up until really about House of the Dragon starts.
Yeah.
We definitely wouldn't be able to do a Stranger Things, but certainly. And then Disney's like has like She-Hulk, which I could care even less about. So I was like, Jesus, I don't think we're going to be covering that. But yeah, probably I think our next thing will be Umbrella Academy because I loved seasons one and two of it.
Yeah.
And so we can take our time maybe a little bit with that. Maybe do like we'll do like two episodes and then a thing and then
yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I'm down to do that. And yeah, and then cover some of the movies coming out there, or whatever. Love and Thunder, stuff.
So. Yeah, because then we'll be busy back over on some of our other shows as well with the Andor series and then House of the Dragon on our Ben the Knee show.
Lord of the Rings with Jimmy.
Lord of the Rings. We'll be going on to the Fantasy Network and doing that. And then just kind of have to see. And then I think about just kind of the end of the year. Black Adam we'll definitely cover
over here, which
is the next Rock DC movie, because that seems like it's going to be good. And just kind of, and then I know there's just the Shazam movie coming out towards the end of this year. And then there's the Witcher is getting a prequel show that they
have
that's coming out later this year and stuff. So
nice.
And then really, man, we might have to do, we're going to have to see, because I'm watching it right now. The Boys is so good.
I just need to watch the most recent season.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to.
Yeah. And it's just so good. So we'll have to dive in back and all that. So awesome. As always, guys, thank you guys for listening. Be sure to check out all of our other projects. We have link trees and everything. Find me anywhere at Super Gains Bros, as anywhere at Womprat_2M. Be sure to check out our TikToks. And as always, we will see you guys next time.